Welcome to the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast, hosted by myself, Emma, and my wonderful friend, Becca. This podcast is dedicated to parents-to-be and new families in the East Surrey area, providing a wealth of knowledge and support through the exciting journey of pregnancy and birth.
Join us as we discuss everything from prenatal care and childbirth education to navigating the challenges of life with a new baby. We'll be joined by guest expert speakers, including midwives, doulas, breastfeeding experts, nutritionists, and more, who will share their insights and expertise to help you make informed decisions and feel confident in your choices.
Whether you're a first-time parent or a seasoned pro, the East Surrey Bump to Birth podcast has something for everyone. With a focus on empowering parents, we will help you feel calm, confident, and supported through your pregnancy and birth journey. So tune in and get ready to be inspired. Right, hello.
Hello, how are you, Emma?
I'm good, thank you. But it isn't just the two of us today. Today we have another guest. Today we have Amy, and she is going to introduce herself.
Hello, thank you for having me. I'm Amy, and I'm a birth and postnatal doula, and also a bit of a big foodie. So that's kind of like my love language when it comes to supporting my mums-to-be and mums after they've had their babies. So
yeah, excellent. Well, thank you for joining us today. I think it's a really interesting topic and something that perhaps mums-to-be don't necessarily research a lot about when they're pregnant. We obviously concentrate a lot on birth, but the after postnatal, I think, is so important, especially when you've been through birth and really looking after yourself. So it's a really interesting topic, I think, today, and hopefully will help a lot of mums-to-be really understand what they can do postnatally.
Yeah, and I think a lot of mums get the general advice, like gets passed down from Jenny, like, do all your batch cooking and fill your freezer full of food, but then you kind of stand there pregnant, like, well, what am I supposed to be putting, what am I supposed to do? Like, and then you have your baby, and then you're like, oh God, I'm knackered, I don't know what to do, and then, I survived on a diet of Domino's for a few weeks, if I'm honest. Probably didn't support
that hurts
me
my soul.
In any way, shape, or form. All my bank account, quite frankly.
Yeah, it's so true, isn't it? It's just something that really to focus on, I think, for a postnatal. And just if you can do all the preparation while you're pregnant and all the information, then hopefully ready to go after you've had baby, really.
Yeah.
So we'll take it away to you. Yeah, tell us more about it.
So I think in pregnancy, it's really important to just have a really varied diet. And I know that sort of in that first trimester, maybe a little bit afterwards, you can sometimes have aversions to food, you lose your appetite, which means you may not be eating, you know, a balanced diet, it's fine. You know, sometimes we're very cool to wanting to have beige foods when we're feeling very tired in those first sort of early weeks of pregnancy. And, you know, of course, that is absolutely fine. But I think when you
can get exactly
because you need that energy levels in whatever form that might come in.
Absolutely.
However, I think when you start to feel a little bit better, sort of trying to think about ways of getting, you know, good nutrients into your system. So like things like leafy greens, proteins are like really important as well. And another one which a lot of women may not know about is choline, and that is actually found in eggs. And we actually don't have a huge amount of that kind of in our diets generally. Having eggs can be a really good way of kind of helping to boost all of those kinds of things. And it's really good for like baby's development in the womb. So yes, and obviously the guidance has changed now, where you can have things like runny eggs, whereas a few years ago you weren't able to have things like poached eggs.
Well, I think with eggs there's a big fear, because so many times when you Google things, you get all the American websites and advice come out, and American egg advice is hugely different because they look after their eggs differently. You can't eat a runny egg in America when you're pregnant, because they haven't.
We have the whole different standards over here, don't we? The Red Lion stamp, I think it is, to show that it's all been looked after.
Yeah,
and whereas they
fear.
And we don't have to put them in the fridge, because I know in America you have to put eggs in the fridge, don't you? Yeah. So yeah, it is more safe over here, isn't it?
It is. And I think it's just about kind of updating and keeping yourself kind of informed on what's actually available, because it changes all the time. Yeah. So when I was pregnant sort of 5 years ago, you know, things like smoked salmon were fine, but now the NHS guidelines is that you shouldn't have any kind of smoked, like it's sort of fish that's smoked salmon in that kind of raw form, similar to, meat, raw meat. Exactly. So I think when you are pregnant, it's just really good to go on the NHS website and have a look at what, foods to avoid and then foods that are safe to eat, because I think that just also gives you peace of mind as well.
That's, and I suppose things as well like iron-rich foods as well, isn't it? I know that's probably important both for pregnancy and postnatally, but I know iron can dip in pregnancy, can't it, quite easily because of blood supply and baby having more blood. So yes. I suppose iron-rich foods, is it beef and things like that, isn't it? And
that's a good way of kind of getting things in. I mean, obviously things like liver, that's not always a favour, but things like that. But obviously with things like having steak, you just got to make sure that it's kind of cooked all the way through. But they're a kind of a good thing. But I guess with any of this, it's all about, if you do feel like your iron levels are low, it's just all about thinking about having, maybe supplements that you can take, or speaking to like your midwife and they can kind of help support you with anything like that. But yeah, I think pregnancy is just really good to have a real kind of very varied diet when it comes to things. And like one of the foods that actually is absolutely amazing, which you can have from pregnancy right through to your fourth trimester, is bone broth. So I don't know. Really? Yeah, and I actually drink that now, even though I'm not pregnant or in my fourth trimester. But it's amazing because it's full of like amino acids and collagens and things like that, and it can really help with like muscle repair and kind of rebuilding sort of all of your kind of muscle health and stuff like that. So it's got some incredible health benefits, and it's so easy to make and it's so cheap. So that is something that you can actually drink through your pregnancy, and then you can either freeze some and have it in your, in your freezer to drink.
I never knew that. I think I've seen that come up on your socials before, actually.
Yes, I have got a recipe for it on my, and when you find out how easy it is to make, it just requires, chicken bones or beef bones, and you can just go down to your butcher's and go in and cook, because obviously when they prepare all the meat, they have all the carcasses that they no longer need. So I go in there and I come out with two huge bags of chicken bones, thinking I might have taken on a bit too much, or I could probably make enough for the entire road. But it's really, and it's delicious. So that would, I'd say, is kind of a great one to, but if you are obviously vegetarian or vegan, then you can make things like a mushroom based broth as well. You kind of get lots of different mushrooms in there, which have got, that gives you like that sort of meaty and that nice depth in taste, but it's got, it's still kind of, for vegetarian and vegan, that's going to be as close as you can get to having a broth.
That's amazing. I've never heard of that. So that's a really good tip. Thank you.
That's all right.
Very good tip. I like that.
So yeah, you said about that moving you forward through into postpartum, which I know is where your love is. So talk to us all the things about what we should be eating after we have babies, not Domino's every single meal.
Well, maybe one Domino's. So.
I mean, a celebratory one. Yes, like this baby, I'm eating a big old Domino's, which is where it started for me. It's like, what should I have been eating?
So it kind of, I think in Western culture now, it's very different to a lot in the sort of Asia and India culture, which are traditions that have been passed down from generation to generation, and it's still here now in the modern day, which I think is amazing, which obviously shows that it works, and there's still huge benefits. And I think actually kind of what we need to be eating, so in China they have like the month of sitting, so that's kind of the whole idea. And the idea is that they sort of see the body has like a yin and a yang. And the yang is kind of represents like the warmth, kind of like the summer season. And it's like where all that big transformation happens, which when you have a baby, it's massively transformational. And then what happens is you've then got the yin, which is the opposite. So that's kind of like seen as sort of like the cold element to that side of your body. And during birth, they believe that you lose so much of your yang because you're giving so much energy and warmth, which your body obviously does as you're going through labour, which is a really big thing. So they kind of believe that you're kind of left very cold. So they still do it now where they want that mother to stay really, really warm. So they don't have windows open. They believe in like, the draft and kind of wrapping her in blankets and, all this kind of stuff to keep her yang, to rebuild her yang and her warmth in her body. And they also do that through food. So things like the bone broth is, like I would say, a massive kind of part of that. And they can, you know, incorporate that into like sort of with ramen and noodles and all these kind of warming foods. And I guess for us, you know, in that, in our kind of Western culture, we are very much like, it's, I can do it myself. We're going to do the whole bounce back, you know. And for me as a doula, I really just kind of want to try and educate and inform women that there is no need to rush, and that you've got so, you've come such a long way, and your birth is monumental, and your body has done the biggest journey it's ever going to go through. And that the fourth trimester should be honoured as another rite of passage. And, you know, we don't need to be up in the supermarket 5 days postpartum, you know, when we're bleeding and we're healing and we're tired and, you know, sore nipples and all these kinds of things. It's like so important. So I think, you know, having things that are really warming is what I really try and sort of encourage women to have post-birth. So whether it is bone broth or whether it's sort of, you can use that to actually, for a base for a lot of things. So you can use it as a base for soup rather than using a stock. For risottos, you know, anything that's kind of, that requires a kind of stock base. So then you're getting all of that goodness rather than just getting it from like a, you know, vegetable stock from the cupboard. So things like soups are really great because they can get all of your fiber intake, your minerals, like, and everything, and it's warm, it's easy to drink one-handed.
That's what I was just thinking.
You can stick it in a mug and you don't have to worry about a spoon and a bowl kind of goes out the window, doesn't it, once you've had a baby and your arms are full. So I think things like that can be really important, just sort of staying away in that first few weeks from like really cold food, because you want to sort of allow your gut to heal and there's a lot of work that kind of goes into that. So,
and I suppose actually we're coming into winter, so it's going to be actually more encouraging to have these foods, isn't it? Because in the summer, if you're hot, you're thinking, oh, it might be a bit hot for a broth or something, whereas now we're coming into winter, you're going to want all those lovely warm foods.
Absolutely, those winter babies being tucked up nice and warm. And you know, it's almost like thinking about you the same way that you, that your baby is when they have those first, you know, days and weeks outside of the womb. You keep them warm and comforted, and you give them warm milk, and it's kind of the same should be applied to that mother, because you know, she is new to this as well. It's a huge transition for her, and you know, there's a lot, you know, we all know the baby's going to be absolutely fine because that mother is going to nurture that baby so beautifully, but it's about making sure that we are nurtured as well, and you know, asking for that help when we need it, and not thinking that we can do it all alone. And you know, there's kind of ways that you can do that. If you wanted to sort of have that support, you can obviously ask if you've got family around, or if people do have family that live far away, if you've got maybe friends that would be willing to sort of call in. You've obviously got the option of having a postnatal doula who can come and, you know, really nurture you and, you know, make sure you're eating properly, you're drinking enough water, that you're eating the right things as well. So there's all those kinds of options available.
And I think that can be a misconception about postnatal doulas, is that you're almost like a nanny. But I mean, if parents are looking for some support and advice about baby, then absolutely. But actually, you're going there to nurture this new mum, these new parents, to help them be able to nurture their baby, not the other way around. And I think some people are sort of resistant to this idea, oh, I don't need help with my baby. No, you might not. Actually, maybe you need some help with yourself, because if you're giving everything to your baby, you can't give everything to yourself at the same time.
Absolutely.
There is such a push to go, no, you've had a baby and you must feel like life is back to
normal. Well, it's that pressure, isn't it? We all feel like, I think, that's the problem. Mums feel like they've got the pressure to look good and feel like they've bounced back and look what a great job I'm doing. And it's that sort of social media pressure as well, isn't it? When you see all these posts from other mums that go, look how well I'm doing. And actually it's taking a step back, like you say, and saying, well, actually, let's look at your needs and look at help you mentally and physically. And as Emma just said, you know, it's not about baby as such. It's more looking after mum, isn't it? And actually doing what she needs.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, if however way you birth your baby, there is so much internal healing that goes on. You know, you've, when you're, you know, your placenta comes away, there is a huge space in your uterus which needs to contract and and sort of, you know, and all these things are being done. Your womb rigid, you know, starts to, you know, shrink back down to pre-pregnancy size, and all of this work is going on in your body, a bit like pregnancy when you don't really have any control over it, but you know that you need to eat well and you need to get enough rest in pregnancy, and the same should continue right through, because otherwise that's when, you know, things start to, you know, your emotions are maybe more heightened, you're sleep deprived, which means you then, you know, loss of appetite, and it's kind of this vicious cycle. But yeah, the postnatal doula work for me is exactly that. It's about getting that mother back to a place where she feels like herself, and she's, her body feels rested and restored. And of course I'm there to hold the baby if she wants to have a sleep or have a shower, but my main thing is just knowing that she has, that she's felt listened to during that time, which is massive. Offering her that emotional support, and also you know, making them something to eat, and then helping with any chores so that she hasn't got to worry about unloading the dishwasher
or
putting
that,
you know, a wash load on, and you know, those very simple tasks that I'm you know, take for granted that I can just do it. They are things that are going to really allow that mum to say, okay, actually everything is done in that house, I can rest, rather than that guilt we feel thinking I shouldn't be sitting on the sofa with my newborn baby, I should have put a wash on.
The health visitor's coming round later.
Let's tidy up.
Must be tidy, even though they have no expectation. No. I think actually a health visitor walking into a well-used, loved home probably feels more comfortable than a pristine, everything perfect place, because then they know that that mum's been looking after herself a bit better and not frantically running the Hoover around with a crying baby in arms. They don't care.
But again, it's back to that pressure again, isn't it? That's that pressure of how society sees you, and it's learning to let go of that, isn't it? And just saying, no, I need to look after me, not worry about what everybody else thinks.
It's funny how quick it's all changed as well. I bet if we spoke to our grandparents or our great-grandparents, they would be absolutely horrified at the idea of, because you would have had your neighbour, your sisters, your whoever coming and supporting you, not everyone else having their own busy lives where they can't come and help you necessarily as much as you.
Well, my nan was one of 13. So you can imagine they had lots of help between them, because they all had about 6 children each, I think. So they all lived together like the same road, and they just literally in each other's house saying, what do you need help with? Can I take child today? Do you want me to do this? And it was much more of a thing back then, wasn't it? Actually nurturing each other and helping each other. Yeah. Whereas now we kind of isolate and think, oh, I'll get on with it, and
we've got to put a bit more effort into
not bother anybody
I also think that actually we always think, oh, I don't want to trouble that person, or I don't, you know, they're too busy, or I feel like I really do need some help, but I don't really want to ask for it. But I reckon if you were to pick up the phone and ask somebody the smallest of favors, they would be so willing to do that, because I think we just, as a society here, we think, oh, well, you know, I can't possibly ask for that help, you know, and this whole idea that we should be being able to do it single-handedly. And we can't. It's about coming together as a community. It's about, you know, supporting each other through this huge milestone in life. And there are definitely ways of doing it. And I think, but also planning for it.
Yes.
This is where it's so important. And, you know, your birth and the preparation that goes into your birth is really super important. Absolutely. But at the same time, I see a lot of the, you know, the parents that are like, when we do sort of, you know, sessions together, they're like, I had no idea first time round, because I didn't really think much about what was going to happen with life after baby and what we were, I wasn't prepared for it. It's not something we really speak about. And, but I think preparation is so key. And that's kind of why I always do a postnatal like planning session with people, with my clients. And I also do it with, you know, with couples who, you know, might not like me as their doula, but would just like to have a bit of guidance in things like. So I will go through things. We won't do things like, you know, how to bath your baby and how to put a nappy on. If they want me to show them, of course I would. But it's, for me, it's about really peeling back all of those layers and thinking about, like, the you know, your relationship after you've had a baby, what that's going to look like, the preparation, and the, you know, that things might change and shift between you in those early weeks and months, and, you know, the expectations of each other, things like, again, nutrition, what kinds of things you should be eating, and both of you should be eating as well, because you know, it's important that your partner's obviously still having a good diet as well as you.
They're just tired and shocked, and
an important role to be able to, if they're not eating well and looking after themselves, they're not going to be able to support you to the best of their abilities.
Well, I always say there's nothing worse than a hangry birth partner, and it's the same postpartum. There's nothing worse than a hangry partner and new dad.
Yeah,
absolutely. And you know, if I go in those very early weeks when maybe partners or husbands or wives are on, you know, their leave, you know, for a few weeks, if I am there, I will always make extra to give them a meal as well. Absolutely. Because you know, even if they're back working, but a lot of them work from home now.
I always
make sure that they have a plate, you know, that their mum's been fed as well as the partner, because you know, they kind of have their own agenda as well, and they can sometimes forget to eat. So,
and especially if they've had to go back to work after a week or 2 weeks, you know, they've got that added stress of going back to work as well as helping mum. So actually they need to be really on top, don't they, to be able to manage all of that and juggle everything. So my husband would love you. He's a big foodie as well.
So that's great.
So he would love it if he was in our house going, right, let me give you a portion. We go, I like her. Can she live with us?
Yeah, my portion sizes are sometimes like really big, but I think just eat what you can and then you can always go back to it. You know, I'd rather make sure that I'm sort of giving more than, you know, less. But I think it's, just about really kind of that preparation, because then it doesn't seem quite so daunting when you're in it, because you've thought about, got a bit of an action plan together. And I always sort of say, when it comes to food, I know that you touched on it, Emma, about like the, you know, freezing in pregnancy, you might not. And it's hard, because especially if you are in that phase where you've kind of gone off the thing that you loved before, and then you're like, oh, I can't even think about making that. I don't even know what I want for lunch, let alone in 6 months' time when I've had a baby. So I think what I kind of think is a really nice thing is, if you're having a baby shower or a mother's blessing or nothing at all, if family and friends want to help, asking them, you know, when they come for this celebration, is to bring a meal for the freezer.
Yeah, that's a really good idea.
Because then what is, you're actually probably going to find that you're going to really want to eat that, because somebody else has prepared it. And you know what it's like, I don't know about you, but I sometimes found that we got into a rut in the week. We're always making like Mondays is this and Tuesday night is this. And you get kind of a bit bored of your own cooking. But if somebody's bought you something which they've made with love and it goes in the freezer, you're going to be really excited to eat that, because it might be something that you never normally eat.
That's right. And actually, you've just reminded me a story back when I was having my last son. A lady that was in my antenatal group was very involved in the church, and they always had it, I think they called it a meal train.
Yeah, meal train.
And they had all signed up, however many of them they were, on a list, and they were going to come and provide, Monday's dinner. Come in, say hello, you've had that company.
Food.
And someone providing a meal. It's not to any huge expense, obviously, you know, everyone's cost of living, all of that, but to provide one meal for one family is affordable for most people in some way, shape or form. If you've got friends coming round to visit you, so you know, as much as I would love a bunch of flowers, don't actually need another thing to keep alive right now.
Exactly.
If you could bring me your leftovers from your dinner last night, even, to make an extra portion the evening before that they can bring with them.
Yeah,
good idea.
So I went to visit a friend recently who just had her baby, and she was like, oh, what time are you coming? I'll pop to the shop on your way and I'll grab some bits for lunch. And I was like, no, please don't.
I'll do that for you.
I'll bring some bits. What do you want to eat?
Absolutely.
Don't go to the shop for me. You've just had a baby. I'm coming to you. Let me bring. Because it wasn't any extra effort for me, but probably made a difference. I'd like to think it made a difference to her day, not having to rush out with the baby in the pram and go and make decisions for somebody else.
So true.
Little things can all make a difference.
I mean, when I was having my first, I remember my, not even thinking about food actually, it's really, you know, interesting. This is going about 8 years ago. And my mother-in-law said, right, I'm going to make some meals for you and you put them in the freezer. And at the time, well, that's nice, but I didn't think anything of it. Just what I was putting in the freezer. Now, I was in hospital for a week with my first, and when we got back, did I appreciate those meals? It was amazing just going in that freezer and going, wow, we've got 10 meals here to last us for at least another 10 days. And it made a huge difference because me and my husband were both in recovery mode. Mm-hmm. Not just me, but him as well. He'd had a heavy week watching everything.
Mm-hmm.
And just thinking, well, if she hadn't have done that, how different it'd be that first week home and the stress of food and husband having to go out and get food.
Mm-hmm.
At the time, I didn't even think about it. I thought, that's really nice of you. But I thought, oh, chuck it in the freezer and that's that. But just goes to show, really does make a huge difference.
It does.
Really huge difference.
Yeah, and again, obviously soups are a really great thing as well because they're really, really easy to make. They don't take up a lot of space in the fridge and they're a great lunch. You know, or thinking if someone does come over to visit, like a family member or something, and they're making a lunch, just asking them to make another extra portion so that you've got something for the next day.
Yeah.
And also one of my ultimates, I think, is if you've got a slow cooker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They are definitely so underrated and underused, but they are great. So even if you do, you know, you maybe don't have a lot, a huge support network, you know, getting that in the morning, throwing everything in, then you haven't got to worry about it for the rest of the day. And then you know in the evening you've got something that's ready to go.
Yeah.
And all you've got to do is, you know, boil up some leafy greens or some like really good vegetables with loads of like minerals and vitamins in, and you're, you know, you've got yourself always, and you've got something for the freezer or something for the next day as well, which is amazing.
Nothing more cozy than a house with the smell of a slow cooker going through. Oh. Like, that's proper autumn vibe.
It is. Yeah. And I think another thing as well is when, you know, we're obviously healing from birth, it's about not just having those three meals, especially when things like breastfeeding come up. You're going to feel a lot more hungry because you're getting, your body is using so many, so much energy and so many calories to make milk for your baby and you know,
heal.
Yeah,
and to heal, especially
that takes,
if you,
that takes a huge so much energy.
And especially if you've had a heavy bleed after birth and obviously your iron levels have dropped, obviously you're going to need nutrients that way as well to boot. I know that you often get iron tablets and things, but still having those nice iron rich foods are all going to help, aren't they?
Yeah.
If you've had a cesarean, you're recovering from a major surgery. Yeah. The things you would normally put in place if you were coming home having had a major surgery, you would be looking for support, not going, nope, I'm a one-man ship, I'm going to be fine and ignore the fact that I've had this.
Mm.
So actually, since thinking about gut health earlier, and actually that really made me think, it's not, we think about the physical recovery to our uterus and if we've had a tear and things like that, but actually all of our organs have to rearrange.
Yeah,
and actually if you have had like a surgery involved, that has a huge impact on your bowels. You get sent home
with
laxido and things to help get your body functioning again.
Not being crude, but you get a lot of trapped wind, don't you, after a C-section?
You do,
and obviously there's going to be foods that probably help with that and, you know, gut related things. Absolutely.
It's not just your uterus you've got to heal, there's other parts that really gone through a battering, however your birth has looked like, your intestines are moving back into their normal place.
Yeah.
Like they've moved. They're going to function a bit differently.
Yeah, and I think obviously that's what another thing that I do talk about in postnatal planning is thinking about, you know, the type of birth that you may have. You know, we all, you know, a lot of us sometimes are planning for that physiological birth, but a cesarean birth may be how your baby chose to be born. So it's sort of thinking about those sorts of things. What you're going to do around the house, you can't use the Hoover, you can't have, so it's getting really comfortable with asking for help, because it's not that you're not capable and it's not that you can't do it, and it's not taking anything away from you and your abilities. It's just that in that moment and in that period, it's about just relinquishing that control and giving, you know, other people jobs to do. Running a Hoover through, people would be more than happy to do. I don't think I know anyone who would be offended if I said, I've just had a baby and I've just had a cesarean birth. Please, could you run my Hoover through for me?
Yeah. And actually, people want to help, don't they? You often find that they're sitting there twiddling their thumbs, especially if it's parents or, like, say, close friends going, oh, I really want to help, but I don't know how, and they've not asked me, and I don't want to impose by asking them. You know, I'm waiting for them to ask me.
Mm-hmm.
And they want to help. They want to feel like they're contributing. Yeah.
You've got to put yourself in the other person's shoes, haven't you? If I'd went and visited that friend and found out that she needed some help and hadn't asked, I would be, oh, God's sake, you should have asked me. I would have been more than happy.
Yeah.
I'm not some magic angel that's the only person in the world that feels like that. Every other person,
so many
if
people.
You think something, people probably do too. If it's not going to be a problem for you, probably not a problem for them. And if it is, then, you know, maybe they're not actually very helpful in your life. No. Might make you have some realisation.
Yes. And actually the point you made about that recovery time, I remember something my nan used to say to me years ago, and obviously, you know, back then they really looked after each other. And she always said, if you don't heal properly, you'll have issues later in life. And she was so right, because, you know, nowadays, like you said, we all want a pressure to get up and going, and then we end up having pelvic floor problems, or we end up having other
things. Jessica, didn't we? We talked to Jess about that. Your pelvic floor at the time after birth, it's quite often decades later that you feel the impact.
And it's so right, because you end up having all these health issues later in life because you didn't take that time to actually recover and look after yourself. And this is something my nan said many, many years ago, what they all were told when they were pregnant back in that day, because it was taken a bit more seriously about mums taking time to recover. And we need to almost go back in time in a way and sort of go back to what those generations used to do, and kind of take a leaf out of their book and go back to that and actually not overdo it and taking time, so you don't end up having health issues later in life.
I agree. And I think that's where my kind of real passion comes from, as how I sort of, how my support looks as a postnatal doula, is actually really trying to blend traditions that are still alive now with this new modern way of living, because it is fast paced now. We are, you know, everything is at a touch of our fingertips, and we can order food and it's delivered to our door, and we've got a lot of that. But I think when you enter the fourth trimester, it's about actually slowing right down and really, just honouring this. I can't just stress how important it is. It's such a sacred time that needs to be honoured, because it can help with so much, you know, your recovery, bonding with your baby, getting breastfeeding off to a good start, if that's the choice that you've chosen to do. You know, and if you've got constant interruptions and loads of visitors daily, that's going to interrupt all of your, you know, your hormones and your, you know, maybe missing baby's cues and learning about them, because we've got a lot of external interruptions. Yeah. So for me, it's really about really protecting that space for that new mother, and just getting her just to be in bed with her baby or on the sofa, and just really getting to know this beautiful little human who they've grown for like 9 months. It's all that waiting, and, you know, and you want to be the only one that holds them for those first few days, because that's all they're going to want is you. And
it's such a short period of time, you know, that sort of newborn bubble in those few weeks, you know, it goes so quickly. It's like you said, you need to cherish it, because you'll never get that back.
Yeah.
It's so important.
It is.
So Amy, tell us, anyone listening, if they want to find out more about the services you provide, how can they get in touch? Tell them a bit more about what you actually do.
So I'm based in Redhill in Surrey, but I cover quite a large area of Surrey and sort of into areas of South London. And you can find me at Birth to Earth. So that's my website, and also my Instagram.
Yeah.
And there I kind of offer a little bit of absolutely everything. I do prenatal support. So you can actually, if you want some support in pregnancy, to prepare things like cooking, and I've done that before. I've made meals in preparation for that family. Okay. So they have it all in the freezer, really, so they haven't had to think about it. Obviously do birth and the fourth trimester, but I also do like birth preparation, the fourth trimester planning, and I've got a free ebook which you can download called Mini Motherhood Menu, and that's the postpartum edition, and it's got some information about what to expect when you've had a baby, and it's there's about 11 recipes in there. Kind of, you've got stuff from breakfast ideas to lunch, snacks, and also dinner. That's a little, I just want to be able to give something for everybody, you know, just a nice, something that's easy and accessible. And it's been popular, and it's been nice to see a few people kind of, you know, making my creations seeing the benefits. So it's been lovely. So that's kind of the way we're getting in touch.
We'll put the link in a little note
so they can get access that as well. But that's all been really, really interesting.
Really,
that's
interesting.
Brilliant.
It's made me rethink some life decisions.
I'm going to go home now and look up your recipe and put it in my basket.
They are for everybody as well. You don't need to be pregnant or had a baby to enjoy these. It might just give, you know, just families in general a bit of a, like, you know, an idea to make something a bit different.
My husband will probably give you a hug in a bit. Thank you. Well, thank you ever so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's been lovely.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the East Surrey Bump the Baby podcast today. If you have any topics you'd like us to cover in the upcoming episodes, please do get in touch. You can find me, Becca, at Be Your Own Birth on www.beyourownbirth.co.uk, and you can also find me on Facebook and Instagram.
And you can find me, Emma, at Calm Mama Collective, www.calmmamacollective.co.uk, and on Instagram I am calmmama_hypnobirthing. We'll see you next time.